Like I was telling y'all the other day, I got some information on the children that go to college. And it's so devastating to think that a child is raised all their life in a church home. Mom and dad go to church on Sunday. But when they get out of high school and they go off to one of our colleges now, which are so secular and so lost, we got such perverted professors, both men and women, in those places that none of them know nothing about Jesus. In fact, the only thing they said about Jesus, he was never real and he never really lived. And so they're stealing away from our kids the power of God. And since we as daddies and mothers didn't never teach them the word and we didn't pray over them at home and we never walked in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, they believe those professors. And by the time they spent 4 years in college, we lose 95% of our children to the world. 95% of the kids raised in a church home, they don't believe in Jesus after when they come back from 4 years of college. Let me ask you a question. Are you prepared to tell somebody why you believe in Jesus? You know, if you're not, all I can say is shame on you. It's just like that Muslim guy the other day. I was over at the airport. I walked in over there and get a radio worked on. And the guy, oh, Thurman, he said, you need to meet so-and-so here. He owns a flight school over at Meacham. I said, well, praise God. I shook hands with him and I said, are you a Muslim? He looked like a Muslim. I said, are you a Muslim? He said, well, yeah, I am. And I said, well, of course, the man that owned the place I come, oh, he said, Thurman, the God they serve and the God we serve is the same God. I said, oh, no. I said, no. I said, Allah's the devil. I said, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's the one and only Lord and God. And the guy said, Allah's not the devil. I said, I guarantee he is. I said, let me ask you a question, sir. I said, you're a Muslim? Yes. Are you a devout Muslim? You study the Quran? Yes, I do. I said, okay, then let me ask you a question. When's the last time you saw your God, Allah, do a miracle? When did you see him heal somebody or fix a crippled bone or a broken back? I said, what? He said, I never seen him do nothing like that. I said, see, I told you he wasn't God. I reached my back pocket and I pulled out a DVD on testimonies of miraculous healing. I said, here, take one of these. It's two DVDs in there. There's at 16 at least 30-minute television shows in there with people that have received tremendous, awesome miracles from God. You want to know a God that does something? Listen to my God. He works. He does things. Do we serve the one and only true God? Yes. Oh, people said, but you done that wrong. Oh, no, I didn't do that wrong. I did exactly what the Holy Spirit was leading me to do that day. You know, I'm not one of those guys that draws back. Why? Because God says those that really know me, they do great things. Do we really know him? I hope we do. Because you cannot back off. And the day that we're approaching, it's going to get worse quicker. I mean, quick. I mean, with what's going on in the world today, it's mind-boggling what's happening so quick. Let's go on here, and we go ahead and see what these teachers, we saw what they did here. Verse 9 says, but they won't get away with this for long. They don't have to get away with it for long. But in the process of time that they're getting away with it, they're creating havoc. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are. Hey, it didn't take me long. I already know they're all a bunch of fools, don't you? Anybody that don't believe in Jesus Christ, God right there said they're a fool. Are you in agreement with his word? I'm guaranteed. You know, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're a fool. Absolutely. That's like that day I got on that airplane in Houston. The guy probably 50 years old sitting next to the window. He had a biology book out there. And he was reading this. They had the big, beautiful pictures and everything. I sat down beside him. I thought, well, I don't really think this guy's probably going to college and taking biology. He might be, but I said to the man, I said, sir, I said, what are you doing? Are you studying? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, are you a professor in a university or something? He said, yes, I am. I said, where? He said, Denver, whatever it is, some college in Denver. I said, isn't it wonderful there? All those wonderful, isn't it wonderful what God made? You'd be glad God made that? I said, why? He said, you think God made? I said, no, sir, I don't think God made. I know he made that. I know he made that. He said, I don't believe that. I said, you're a biology teacher? And you see all them intricate parts of those plants and animals and all these little things, and you don't believe God made that. I said, where do you think it come from? He said, from an egg or from another seed. I said, well, where did the first seed come from? He said, from another seed. I said, let's keep going back. I said, somewhere along the line, there's got to be a beginning for that first seed. Well, yeah, but he said, but it just happened. It was just, you know, the Big Bang Theory. I talked to that guy for 45 minutes from Houston to Dallas. When we landed at Dallas and taxied in, I said, well, sir, I only got one thing to say about you. And he said, what's that? I said, the Word of God has just proved itself true to me one more time. He said, what do you mean? I said, the Word of God says, only a fool says in his heart there is no God. And I said, if I ever met a fool, you're him. You know, the thing about it is, too, when I talk on an airplane, Dave knows that because he's sat two or three rows away from me a few times, and everybody hears what I say. I don't talk gentle and soft. I want everybody to hear what I'm saying for two or three or four rows around me. And you will be amazed at the number of people in my life that I have done this. I've talked to somebody about winning them to Jesus, or talked to somebody about getting them healed or whatever. And then when I get off in Chicago, one or two people come and kick me off to the side. I heard you talking about getting that man healed. You seem like you know an awful lot about healing. He said, I've got this disease. I'm on the way to a doctor right now. Can you tell me what I need to do? Only God knows what he has done through my walk with him in my life. Now, is that what we're supposed to be doing? Yes. You don't ever meet a man more than 30 seconds without finding out if he's a Christian, do you, Steve? That's right. You find it because you want to know where he's at. That way you know what you're got to do, right? And what God sent you and me here to do? Get them saved. Get them healed. Get them delivered, right? That's what we're here for. That's the whole thing. But he says they won't get away with this for long. Someday everyone will recognize what fools they are. That's so sad. But you know what I teach. Do you know what I teach? Do I teach God's Word? Yes. But you know what I teach. This is Paul saying, Timothy, and how I live. When's the last time one of y'all saw me down at the bar hanging out with some whore? Huh? Do you know one night years ago when Betty and I were together and another friend of mine from Oklahoma and his wife, and we'd been to a conference of some kind in Dallas. I mean, it was something, some kind of a business conference he wanted to go to, so he wanted us to go with him. It was only one afternoon. So we went, and just to be friends with him. And on the way back, he said, let's stop by my favorite club out here for a drink. And I said, a drink of what? And he said, well, I'd like to have a beer. Wouldn't you like to have one, Thurman? I said, no, I thought you knew me better than that. I don't drink. I met this man in the military. Man, he knew that in the Air Force we were together for at least 6 months, and then we visited quite often, maybe a weekend or something every year, every couple of years for the next 10 years. But still, he didn't realize I didn't drink. And so he said, I want to stop by here to my favorite club, and I want to have a beer. I said, okay. So I said, if you want to. So we pulled in there. I had never been to a strip club. Never in my life. I didn't even know they existed. We pulled into his favorite club. His wife is with him. I am in there, and my wife was with me. And we go inside this club and sit down, and there's a girl stripping her clothes off right on the platform, right on top of the I said, John, I said, this is your favorite club? He said, yeah, I love it, don't you? I said, not hardly. And, you know, at first I thought, God, I sure hope nobody comes by and sees me in this place. But anyway, he had his beer, and I told him, I said, I really think we ought to go on home. And so we left, and of course we went home. And of course, Betty, she said, honey, she said, I'm so proud of you that when those girls were dancing nude, you didn't even look. I said, no, honey, I ain't looking. I said, because that's the way sin starts. If I don't look, I can't be tempted. So I didn't look. And so we went home, and so it wasn't long that I was down in that same area. Now I realize that Harry Hines, there's a lot of bad stuff goes on out there. So, I mean, I'm just learning. So I'm going down the road. I'm teaching a Sunday school class over at Lakeland Baptist Church, and I'm driving down the road, and here's these two real, pretty, dressed, business executive class ladies standing in front of their car on Harry Hines. I thought, oh, my goodness gracious, those high heels, everything. I thought, those poor two ladies, their car stalled or something, so I pulled up in front of the car, and I got out, walked back there, you know, and I said, are you ladies having trouble? And they said, well, not really. And I said, well, I see y'all standing here. I said, what's that? And they began to petition me to go to a hotel with them. They both wanted to take me. And I stopped and thought about what was going on. And I thought, this is the first time I've ever been petitioned by two beautiful ladies to go to a hotel. But see, why had I never been petitioned? Because I don't go to those kind of places. But today, God put me in a place, and I said, ladies, I'd like to ask you all a question. Do you girls both know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? They said, oh, you're one of them kind. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm one of them kind. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. So they go get back in the car, crank it up, and drive off. And then I get in my car, and I start to drive off, and then, of course, the enemy hits me. Oh, Thurman. Somebody saw you petition those two girls on the highway. Are you going to be in trouble? And then I said, Lord, I know you're going to protect me. So anyway, come Sunday, I thought, well, I'm going to tell my Sunday school class what happened. And so I did. Just a group of men, about 10 or 15 men in my Sunday school class. I told them about my little experience on Harry Hines. And then Cooper McGregor, he was a engineer at Texas Instruments and a great man of God. I said, you know, I was so afraid that if somebody saw me with those two women, they would think I was trying to take those women to a room. And he said, Thurman, I know you. If I had a drove by and I'd have seen you standing there, and if I'd have known those two ladies were both prostitutes, I'd have said, gee, there's Thurman. He stopped by to try to win those two girls to Jesus. Now, is that the way we should be? Is that the way we should be known? Your walk in your life should be so clean and so holy and so pure that if they walk in and you're in the middle of 15 naked women, I mean, they ain't got a stitch of clothes on, everybody ought to say, well, there's Thurman. He's out there trying to win them girls to Jesus, so they put them clothes on. Is that the way we should be, Steve? That's the way we should be, right? That is that clean, pure heart. That's the way it's supposed to work, isn't it? You should never look at your circumstances and mine and your goal, even if we are dropped into the middle of perversion, is to take authority in the name of Jesus and lead people to Christ.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Occupy Until the King Comes, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.